open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Reconnect My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear a heart's apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad y'all are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can listen online at, the podcast audio is down at this time. But you can see the video version of Reconnect My Heart at www.reconnectmyheartpodcast.com. That's www.reconnectmyheartpodcast.com. Also, for those who may want to give us a call, call us at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in, and I'm very, very, very excited for this episode today. Last week, we had a great, great conversation with a young lady, very knowledgeable, very anointed young lady that really fed us, and so one more time, or if I can say one more again, we have her back on the show to feed us and also to let us know about this upcoming event that's coming up this weekend. For those who missed last week, you missed a treat, but she's here again this week. We have our very own Miss Mary MJ Harper. How you doing today, ma'am? Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Okay, I hear you now.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, yes. How you doing today? Loud and clear.
I'm doing well. Loud and clear. How are you? Good, good.
doing well.
Yes, sir. Happy Sunday.
I have to say, last week, I really enjoyed myself last week. And thank you for coming on this week. And before I go any further, I want to give a special shout out to a young lady by the name of Miss Nikki Jackson. Miss Nikki Jackson made this possible. Got a chance to meet her through you all. And so, Miss Nikki Jackson, thank you so much. So, hope and pray that your day went well. And just in case those who may have missed last week, or even some feedback you may have received after last week's show, feel free to share with us maybe even some takeaways that maybe someone had gave you, that how you actually fed us.
I enjoyed last week's show tremendously. It was fun. It was exciting. And I definitely enjoyed the dialogue, and I was grateful opportunity to come on and share your audience with you. And I believe that, you know, those who were able to tune in, or even those who were able to play back the episode, received something that was beneficial to them where they are, wherever they are, concerning their issues of God's gift of goodbye. Sometimes, you know, God's word just serves as confirmation. So the feedback that I was able to receive was that it was confirmation, really, for some things that God had already been dealing with various ones on, or, you know, just that they enjoyed the show and what we had to say. And so it was all positive feedback. I was grateful for the opportunity.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so that was last week. And so for those who are on now, this week on today's episode, we are going to talk about We Are Better Together. We Are Better Together. Partnership that impacts the community. Can you tell us how you came up with that title, We Are Better Together?
As I had mentioned to you on last week, I am in the process of planning and infiltrating and pulling off the Inspire Project Sister to Sister Symposium, which is one of our newest branches of Pay It Forward Projects, the nonprofit organization that I operate. And this particular branch focuses on the mental, physical, spiritual, and financial health and well-being, as well as the emotional health and well-being of the Black American woman, particularly people of color. So if you fall within that spectrum, this conference was designed with you in mind. And over the course of time, as I've been planning this conference, I've had the pleasure and the honor of getting to know our various presenters a little bit more on a personal level, and being able to listen to them, listen to their experiences, learn from them. I have some valuable nuggets, some takeaway nuggets that I have received from each and every one of these ladies. Some have been planning events around the same time I have. Some of their events have just recently passed, some coming up after ours. But the beautiful thing about it is that we've been able to learn from each other, grow from each other, share experiences, ideas, collaborate with each other, and be a help to each other. And what I have found, just as confirmation from what I've always believed, is that we are better together. We are better when we sow into each other, when we share the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that God has so graciously given us to be able to do the various things that we do in the community, whether it be in our churches, whether it be in the local communities that we serve. We are better together. No one has to do it on their own. If you've find the right people to connect with, you can accomplish some amazing things.
Yes, and when you were sharing that, what was hitting my spirit was healthy people. Mm-hmm. Healthy people. Sometimes you get some information from people who may not have your best interest at heart, or they may give you a not a good spiritual conversation or advice, but they would give you a secular, mm-hmm. a secular advice that may not fit in this spiritual realm. And for you to be able to even share and be willing to share, and I commend you and your staff for you all to come together to willfully help without bias, without judgment. And I really appreciate it, and it's so needed at this time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, it definitely is needed at this time. And that's one reason why in this conference, we're focusing on various aspects. We call it our real life issue series. So mm-hmm. we are going to be talking about things that affect us as people of color, women of color on a day-to-day basis, because I believe that there is a responsibility to have a certain level of transparency. Mm-hmm. Because when you learn and you grow from your experiences, it's not just for you. It's so that you'll be able to share that experience with the next person coming along saying, hey, sis, I've been here, been there, done that. This is what I took away from it. Let me help you. You know, there's a saying that says experience is a good teacher. But one thing my mother always added to that, she said, yes, experience is a good teacher, but every experience doesn't have to be your own. So we can learn from others' experiences, from others' trial and errors, and we can become better. I like what she said about healthy people, healthy spirits. One thing I love about the network of women that I've been able to connect with that are working in the community and doing like-minded work that I do is that we can sit on the phone and we can talk and we can brainstorm and we can collab about different things that we want to do or different projects that we're undertaking. But what I love about these women is that we are on one accord spiritually. You know, so you have to be selective with the people that you allow yourself to become attached to. I love about these women is that if I share something, whether it be a hiccup in the road or a roadblock or, you know, something that I'm struggling with or just being extremely tired. One thing that I love about it, I love being able to have sisters in my life that say, you know what, while we're talking about it, let's pray right now. You know, that people that are not going to say, I'm going to be praying for you. And then you get off the phone. I love being connected to women that will stop in the middle of our conversation and say, you know what, we're going to talk to the Lord about this right now. You know, and that's so valuable. It's so important to have people like that in your life. And the beautiful thing about it is anybody can tell you they're going to pray for you. But I love knowing that, hey, this sister is really praying for me. You know, this sister really wants to see me win. She really wants to see me succeed. And when you connect yourself to people like that, that type of spirit, that type of attitude or perspective is contagious. So I want to see her win. I want to see her grow. I want to see her prosper. I want her to know that when she gets low or she gets discouraged or she gets tired, I got you, sis, you know, because we do better together.
Yes. Yeah, matter of fact, that was a beautiful saying that you had shared that your grandma said. My dad used to say, a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from somebody else's mistakes. And so just being able to just share that, if you want, I like to call it wisdom, insight, you know, and also it shows how much you are loved when people are willing to come to you right where you at to let you know, hey, look here, don't feel alone. I was there. But the same God that did it for me, can do it for you. You know, it gives us hope. And it's one thing for us to go into a situation or be in a situation, but it's another thing to know that you're not by yourself and you have people that are willing to be there to help you. And like you said, pray for you, praying for you and is praying for you. So I thank you for even just having the heart to help. And I really think that that's a missing element right now. Even in the Bible, it tells us that the older or seasoned people are supposed to be help grooming and teaching the younger folks, you know. And, you know, we may not have that like we used to when we were growing up. And maybe not everybody grew up with that same family unit as we mm-hmm. did. But God is allowing you all to create another family with people who may be family-less. So I really thank you. I really thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a blessing. And one thing that I have found, I had gotten to a point where when I went through the point of divorce, my ex-husband, he was a tremendous help to me with the work that we do in the community. He would be the person to go and pick up furniture donations and grab his crew of friends and go from house to house, picking up furniture donations, getting them to storage or dropping them off at a client's house, things of that nature. And unfortunately, we divorced. So when we divorced, you know, the work still had to carry on. You know, I still had to do it, but I was like, okay, Lord, you know, what am I going to do? I can't lift no couches. You know, I can't do any hauling and things like that. And then going from a two-family household with a two-family income, but still having two-family bills, you know, I had to be more stationary. I had to, you know, sit and work and do what I had to do. So that was taken away from what I was able to do in the community. But I knew that that was still something that God had given me to do. So I had to pray and ask God for wisdom and knowledge and guidance on how do I still make an impact in the community? How do I still serve the community and provide these resources to the community when I'm almost down to a one-woman show, you know? And I knew that it was something that God had given me to do. So I had to trust him to make the provisions for it. And right at that point, God began to put me in the presence of some amazing women and men that are doing amazing things in the community, particularly focusing on the unsheltered and low-income families. For instance, like you mentioned, Miss Nikki Jackson, and she has a community resource center where she's able to distribute clothes and things like that to families in need. Miss Patricia Rigsby Scott with Helping Hands Open Hearts and Caring and Compassionate Hearts. My apologies. She has a nonprofit organization and they go out into the community and provide services to the unsheltered. There's also Rosalind Bryant with Open Hands Humble Horse. And she goes out in the community. Everyone, I think, around the city knows Miss Deborah Nickerson with Five Loaves and Two Fish. You know, so I was able to connect with these people and share my resources with them because most of them had foot teams. They had the people or the bandwidth to go out and service the community and feed the community. So I found that being a resource was the direction that God was leading me in. So, you know, when I want to get things out to the community, we have a overwhelming supply of things, hygiene care packages, shoes, blankets, clothes. I can reach out to these ladies and say, hey, I've got stuff for your families. I've got stuff for your folks out on the street. And that's how we collaborate. That's how we work together. So they are an extension of my hands. And when they need me to do things for them, I'm an extension of their hands. And so we're able to do more and touch more together. So where they might have been serving, you know, 150 to 200 people with what they had, now I'm able to give them more. So they're able to have a brighter or a broader audience, are able to reach more people. So we are definitely better together. The proof is in the pudding. You know, if you want to start a nonprofit organization, if you want to focus on a particular demographic, do your research. See what other organizations there are out there that are doing similar work. And before you start, why don't you reach out and ask them, how can I help? Especially if you're a new nonprofit organization, or, and this goes for ministers and pastors as well. But if you're new, you know, reach out to someone in that area and be like, hey, how can I help? How can I support you? Because if you're new, you definitely don't know it all. You know, so you want to be connected with people that you can sow into, and that people that will sow into you. So their experiences, their knowledge, their communications, their partners, their resources. You want to connect yourself with like-minded people, because we are better together than we are apart. And the same thing goes with our churches. You know, my dad was a pastor for 40 years, and our church was a pretty nice sized church in St. Louis, did extremely well. But there were churches that were, you know, just in St. Louis, it's just about a church on every corner, you know. And one thing that stood out to me is that, okay, you got Pastor so-and-so, he's got 3 members. You know, and then 2 blocks down, you got Pastor so-and-so, they got 7, you know, and the majority of them, they family members, you know, and then 2 blocks over, you got Sister so-and-so that's trying to start her own ministry. But what if we could find a way to come together and expand our ministries and work together? You know, we would be able to touch more people. We would be able to do more in our communities, more in our ministries. You know, bring your 2 members over to Pastor so-and-so's church and add them to his 7. You know, that's 9. And then let's go get Sister so-and-so's ministry, you know, with those 4 people around the corner for her, and bring those numbers together, and we can do more together. We can help each other, but it's important to connect with like-minded people and people who have kindred spirits, you know, and share a vision for what God has given them to do. That's the only way we're going to make it. We just can't. We weren't built to do it alone. It wasn't meant to be that way.
Yes, you know, God made us for us to have relationships with each other. And I know we were singing the song, I Got Jesus, I Don't Need Nobody Else. But that's a good song, but in actuality, we do need each other. You know, God made us to be able to have communities. And that's why family, regardless if it's related by blood or related by love, is so important. And also, like you said, we can't do everything. We don't know everything. And we can't do everything. And just like how you may need me, but also there may be some areas I'm gonna need you. And if we can get pride aside, we can be able to accomplish more if we go ahead and look at the main focus. The main focus, it ain't on me, it ain't you, but it's for the needs of the people. And I think we lost sight of that.
Yes. And I'll be honest with you. I never liked that song. I love Mickey Waters and whoever else we made it. I love y'all, but I never ever liked that song, because that has never ever been the truth. You know, maybe it should have been written another way. You know, I kind of get what I said. But if you didn't need nobody else, then you'd be here on this world, in this world by yourself. And even then, you wouldn't be here, because Adam and Eve was first. So it took you having a mama and a daddy for you to get here, and you didn't come out taking care of yourself. You needed somebody to raise you. You needed someone to nurture you. You needed those cousins and those brothers and sisters to teach you how to communicate with people and to share memories and to pour into you. So we absolutely need each other. So yeah, no, I never liked this song, because it's just not true. Yes, as long as I got the King Jesus. Yes, he is the source of my strength. He is the source of everything. But if we didn't need each other, if we didn't need nobody else, Adam would still be in the garden by himself.
Right. And you know what? It's really eye-opening for us, especially those that know me. I'm used to doing things for myself, by myself. And sometimes God will put us in a situation for us to start delegating responsibilities to people, mm-hmm. to receive help. Now, we oftentimes, hey, can I help you? We offer our help. But sometimes somebody like me, God may say, no, you need to receive help. Receive. And my goodness, that was a teachable lesson for me. I had to learn, and I have to give credit to God and also my little brother. When I first wrote my book, God told me to accept help from he's my younger brother. He don't like for me to call him little brother, but my little brother. And I knew how to do it, but what I realized at the end, it was actually him wanting to do something for his big brother. And it was a lot of joy, not only that I received, but he received it, you know? And so for us to be able to understand that, you know, there are people that want to invest into you. There are people where we talk about God. I have haters, but sometimes we have the haters, but we push in the back the people who are able to help us.
Yeah. And that's actually something that I have struggled with, and that has been my prayer. God, teach me how to receive help. Me and my sisters would often talk about my mom and how she just got to run everything. She got to be in charge of everything. She got to do it all herself and this, that, and the other. And she don't know how to delegate. You know, those are things we used to say. And sometimes I sit up and I would have my sister saying, "You just like mama." You just like mama. And I am, you know, in a lot of ways. And I just begin to pray and ask God, put me in the presence of the right people. Put me in the presence of people who want to see me win, who want to see me succeed, who want to see this ministry grow or this nonprofit organization grow. Put me in the presence of like-minded people, you know, that know how to pour into me, to know how to correct me when I'm wrong, you know, in love, you know, things like that. So that has been my prayer, and God has just so graciously allowed me to have a relationship with people. That's so into me. And one thing that's hard for me is that I go all the time. I'm one thing from the other. And I thank God for loving me enough to put a sister in my life, not my biological sister, but a sister in my life. She'll inbox me and say, "Did you drink some water today? Did you eat today? Did you rest today? Did you breathe today?" You know, and she is my self-care accountability partner. She encourages me to make time for me, to take time for me, you know. And if you're going to be a successful business owner, if you're going to be a successful or anointed minister, evangelist, so on and so forth, you have to learn how to decompress and take time for you and just take some self-care. And so that was one thing that I struggled with. And another thing that I struggle with is that if I give somebody an opportunity to do something, and which is already hard for me to do, but if I give somebody an opportunity to do something and I'm just standing there and I'm waiting to see what they do with it, you know, I might give them one shot, you know, a two shot. But if I see they're not following through, all right, I'm not going to drop the ball to spare your feelings. I'm going to go ahead and get it done. I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do. And so I'm asking God to teach me how to be an effective leader. you know, how to be effective, how to effectively communicate with people, how to effectively motivate my team, you know, and to work on me with my takeover spirit. You know, we got to be honest with ourselves about where we are, you know, and so that's where I am. So it's a learning experience. It's a learning experience for sure.
You must been talk about me. You must been talk about me because I understand. I understand. And my main thing is when I see someone half-heartedly do something, oh, that's a pet peeve of mine. And God is working on me also. My sister used to say, I'm still under construction, so excuse my dust. Well, yes. I ask you all to excuse my dust. But when I my goal is to help the people of God. And when I see people are not treating the people of God as God would treat them, I'm like, no, I do it myself, you know. And so with that, it makes me guarded. It makes me guarded on the responsibilities that I have. And I appreciate your transparency. And this is helping us. Not only is helping you, but it's helping us for your transparency, because as your community, you letting people know, hey, look here, there are some areas that I have to work on, but I'm being vulnerable enough to let you know, hey, look here, I'm just like you. But most importantly, not for them to get their eyes on us, but for us to get our eyes on him, you know? And like we always say, keep it the main thing and the main focus.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the main thing. As Christian believers, doing the work that we do in the community and in the church, number one, we want to be found pleasing in the sight of the Lord. We want to be found giving him glory and honor and praise through the work that we do. And we want to give him our best. We want to present before God our best. And so that is one thing that we have to stay focused on. And in doing that, it means that you have to be strategic and intentional with everything that you do, you know. So being intentional and strategic, you know, sometimes, you know, you can be focused in on something or honed in on something and determined that this is the way it's supposed to go. And God will bring someone else, you know, along your path, along your way and say, okay, sis, all right, bro, I see what you're trying to do. Let me pose a different perspective to you, you know. But sometimes we're so locked in on what we think is the right way or the right way to go that we don't receive, you know, God's blessing of sending people into our lives that, you know, can aid us and take us to that next level. And I was kind of guilty of that too. Because I would hear more and more people talking about, oh, I got a mentor. I have a mentor for this. I have a mentor for that. And I'd be like, oh, everybody got all these mentors. And when I was just telling a young lady today, I said, you know what? I have to let go of my pride and realize that, you know, I do. I need a mentor. I need people in my life who have been where I am. I need people in my life who have been or are at where I would like to be, because they can provide, you know, a fresh set of eyes or a different perspective on things or a different way of looking at things that you might not have considered before. And they might help you to identify some of your roadblocks that are keeping you from getting where you need to be.
Thank you. You know, even just that mentor thing, I was watching. You see a lot of the people that are, if you want to call it, A-list people, they have mentors. And I'll just say, for example, one of my favorite musicians, Prince, as great as he was as a musician and all this stuff, but when you begin to look at how he would just sit under the learner's tree when Larry Graham would play the bass or Carlos Santana would play the guitar, and you're like, yeah, but you're a prince. But yeah, he was leaning on other people. And so that same method that he has, we need to have. And I'm using mm-hmm. Prince as an example, because so many yeah. people, they, you know, when we look at overall, it could be ministry, it could be business. Even there are some successful pastors, they're bishops and everything, but they have an overseer, or they got somebody that they can lean on, you know. And sometimes it may not be the yeah. A-list Hollywood preacher. It could be someone just up the street who they've been friends with and they have built that trust with, you know. So like you said, we all need somebody.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, it takes other people to make it. I don't have to experience everything. I can learn from your experiences. You know, I'm open to that. Mm-hmm. I can mm-hmm. be spared some heartache. I can be spared some disappointments and things like that. And, you know, if this particular trial or whatever comes to my way, then, you know, I trust that God is going to bring people into my life who can benefit me and educate me and give me guidance on what I need to do next. God doesn't leave us helpless and hopeless.
Right.
You know, he's a very present help in the time of trouble, you know, and we have to realize that help can come in various forms,
yes.
you know, and we have to be open to receiving that help, you know, and then sometimes we just got to speak up and be honest and say, I need help. mm-hmm. I need mm-hmm. help. Mm-hmm. I need help. And I was the type of person, you know, people would say, well, what you need, sis? Or, you know, you need this or that. All right, I'll let you know. I'm all right. You know, mm-hmm. knowing I'm mm-hmm. drowning.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
knowing I'm yeah. drowning. You know, and so I had to learn how to be humble. I had to learn how to be humble and how to receive God's love for me through his people that he sent specifically for me to help me, you know, because we could be sitting up saying, God, you know, I'm tired. I need you to send me some help. I need you to send me some resources. And God be sitting up in heaven talking about, well, what you think I sent Sally down there to ask you if you need help for? And you told her you was all right.
Right.
I think sometimes we put, I was telling my daughter the other day, I said, you know, sometimes I think the Lord and Satan sitting up having conversations. I mean, I'm sick of these folk blaming all this stuff on me. I ain't had nothing to do with that. That was all her. Mm-hmm. I did mm-hmm. not have nothing to do with that. And the first thing they want to sit up and do is say, look what the devil done did. And the devil probably sitting down there like, I ain't had nothing to do with it. That was all you. You know,
and
the same thing with the Lord. Lord, why you allow this thing to come on me? Why you allow this to come? And he's sitting up thinking to myself, what? You did that. You know,
I sent you
help. I sent you resources. I sent you finances. I sent you the people, and you turn them away. You know, and don't put that on me. Sometimes we blame the Lord for things that don't have nothing to do with him. You know, and we do the same thing with the devil. We blame things on the devil, nothing but a trick. The devil. That was you.
Right. We don't discern anymore. We don't pay attention. Mm-mm. You know, matter of fact, you said something that was so key about help. And just in case someone who may be looking for some help, I want to recommend, for those that may want some help or even may want to help, there's a huge event coming up this weekend. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Now, if you don't mind, not only can you tell us about it, but can you talk about some of the topics? Now, I want to make sure that I have everybody attended because these topics on here, oh my goodness. It was like each topic, I was like, oh yeah, that's gonna be good. Oh, now that was gonna be, oh, wait a minute. Now that one, now I may have to get that one, you know. So share with us the event and also a little bit of the topics or whatever you want to share pertaining to the event. Please share with your people just in case they need some help or they may want to help.
Absolutely. So it's the Inspire Project Sister to Sister Symposium, and it is scheduled for Thursday, May 2nd through Saturday, May the 4th. And it's going to be located in Irving, Texas at the West Multipurpose Center. And that is located on the campus of West Irving Church of God in Christ, where I am a member and my pastor is Pastor Andrew Jackson. Shout out to my amazing pastor. And these conferences, our overall subject is real life issues. So we're going to be addressing just that. Beginning on Thursday, we have two sessions. We have our Good Grief series and we have our Healthy Living series. So in the morning, we're going to address matters of the heart as it relates to navigating life after loss. And that can be after the loss of a loved one, a family member, a friend, a relationship, a friendship. Navigating life after loss. And there's a grieving process that comes with the loss of any one of those categories that I just mentioned. So Dr. Tanya Cunningham, who is known through Dallas and worldwide as the Grief Doc, will be there and she will be presenting ways for us to help navigate life after loss. She's also going to present a panel discussion called My Journey with Grief. We have some amazing ladies that are going to be a part of that panel discussion. One is Ms. Cheryl Jones. She's known here in Dallas, Texas as the Queen of Hearts. And Cheryl is going to be coming on talking about her experience or her journey with life after loss from the standpoint of having time to prepare. Cheryl was married. Her husband, Rodney, was on a medication prescribed by the doctor. It didn't agree with him well. He didn't feel well, decided to drive himself to the hospital. And by the time that he got to the hospital and they followed up with her, he had coded 3 times. He did come back. He did continue to live, I believe, for about 6 or 7 years since that time. However, he was completely incapacitated, lost over 80% of his brain function, had a series of other health issues that followed with that. And she talks about unconditional love, and she's an example of unconditional love, and she's going to share with her journey with grief, losing her husband before she lost her husband, because the man that left home and drove to the hospital was not the man that came home. So that was a grieving process. We also have Alicia Simmons that's a part of that journey with grief panel discussion. Alicia and her son Doug were running in the park after church service like they typically do. And Doug wanted to press his way, even though he was out of breath, and run and make it to the finish line, which they usually have. And by the time he made it to the finish line, he did finish the run. But when he made it to the finish line, he dropped and he died instantly from a massive heart attack. And he was 16 years old. About a year later, while at the time of anniversary of her son's death, Alicia lost her daughter. Her daughter was tragically murdered here in Dallas. So she's dealt with dual loss, and she's going to talk about her journey with grief. And then last, we have Nakisha Service, who's going to be talking to us from the standpoint of childbirth and being a mom. Nakisha, her and her husband, they were excited to welcome their firstborn, their baby girl, into the world. And Nakisha soon found out, close to her time, scheduled time for delivery, that her baby had passed. And so having to birth that child, number one, and number two, birthing a child who had already transitioned. prior to. That's a traumatic experience. So we have these women that are coming to share their stories and their testimonies and how God has taken their pain and their grief and turned it into something for good. Each one of them are doing amazing things in the community as a result of the grief that they experience. We are also going to talk about Until Death Do Us Part, the end of a marriage. We're going to talk about life during separation and after divorce. We have some amazing ladies that are going to be on that panel discussion. We have Antonice Davis. We have Tarnisha Makoko. We have Brianna Latrice, and we have Shamika Lindsay. These ladies are going to give us some insight into the end of a marriage because, yes, it does say until death do us part, but it doesn't have to be the physical death. The death of the marriage is the end of the marriage is a death in and of itself. So they're going to talk to us about navigating life after divorce and during the course of separation. That afternoon, we're going to kind of switch gears up a little bit, and we're going to talk about healthy living. We're going to talk about the realities of healthy living and the benefits of healthy living in comparison to the latest weight loss trends, things of that nature. What's out there? Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? We're going to talk about being a vegan, being a vegetarian, all those different things, a pescatarian. We're going to talk about all of that so people will know exactly what choices they want to make about their health. We're going to talk about sexual diseases, STDs in the community. Did you know that African Americans only make up 16% of HIV and AIDS cases in the US? However, of that 16%, 89% are heterosexual Black American females. And 40% of those are 45 and older. And those are just in the cases that have been diagnosed, you know, and they say that one of the main reasons for those numbers being higher in women 45 plus is because, you know, by that time, you know, some of us are having that surgery to alleviate motherhood. And, you know, some of us have become seasoned and child rearing is no longer an option. So we are a little less responsible with protecting ourselves. And so we have high numbers amongst older heterosexual Black American females. So we're going to be talking about that and educating women on that. And not only that, the organization that's coming to talk to us, they are local in Dallas and they're called Abounding Prosperity. They have so graciously agreed to bring their mobile unit, and they will be providing HIV and AIDS testing on the spot. You can choose whether or not you want to get your results right then, or you can choose for them to give you a call when you're in the privacy of your own home or in your own space, and they can share that information with you. So, you know, the worst thing that can happen is that you find out that that is an accurate diagnosis for you, but you become empowered on what you need to do to live a happy, healthy, productive life and learn how to manage that disease that you have. So those are some of the things we're going to be talking about on Thursday. On Friday is our Boss Up series. We will have Dr. Marguerite Johnson talk about juggling versus struggling, how to balance being an entrepreneur or a businesswoman versus being a wife, a mother, a sister, a friend, having self-care. She's going to talk to us about juggling versus struggling. I have Dr. Cassandra Bradford coming, who's going to be talking to the ladies about for-profit grants and funding. How to be recognized as a Black business owner, how to get grants and funding as a woman business owner. There's so much out there. There's a plethora of information. We're sitting up thinking, how can I do this on my own? I don't have the money to invest to start this business, this, that, or the other. But Dr. Bradford is going to show us how we can build businesses, how to get grants, funding, financing, you know, without having to invest all of your personal money. She's going to be able to educate us on that. And we have Miss Allie Dodu coming to speak to those who are looking to start a nonprofit or organization or have a newly a founded nonprofit organization and are looking for ways to bring in grants and funding to support what they do in the community. She's going to come and talk to us about how we can make that happen. I am excited to be a part of this session. It's called Write the Vision, Make it Plain. I have a young lady coming. Her name is Erica, the Boss Chick Visor, and she's going to come and talk to us about writing an effective business plan. Not only that, we have Miss Valerie Williams coming. She is the Vice President at Bank of America, and she's going to come and share with us about financial literacy for the Black American woman, because each person's financial profile looks a little different from the other. So she's going to be able to tell us what things are taken into consideration when we're applying for credit, when we're applying for loans, when we're trying to get our credit stakes. She's going to come share information with us about that. We have a whole roster of amazing women. If you're on social media trying to expand your platform, if you're trying to get your name out in the community, we have Miss Keisha Sanchez that's going to be talking to us about the power of networking. And we have Sheila Randolph coming to us talking about the power of fundraising through social media. So there's a plethora of classes for Friday as well. We call that our Boss Up series. And then finally on Saturday is one of the series I'm most looking forward to. It's called the I Am My Sister. Keeper series. Now, I'll be honest, in the beginning of the day, the conversations are going to be kind of deep, going to be kind of strong. It's going to be on some subjects that may not be so comfortable to talk about, but definitely things that we need to make ourselves aware of. We have Delashawn Bordeaux, who's going to be coming to us talking about see something, say something. And that is identifying sexual assault and abuse in the Black American community amongst young Black girls. We have Lynn Meyer, who's going to be coming to us talking about from pain to power to purpose. And she's going to be addressing domestic violence in the home and overcoming and being a domestic violence survivor. We're also going to have my friend, Miss Cherry, Cherry Cassandra, coming to talk to us about what's love got to do with it. You know, we can love our family members. We can love our friends and we can have relationship with them. And we can find that even though we love that person, sometimes you have to choose to love people from a distance. And that is what we're going to be talking about. What's love got to do with it? How can I love you and benefit from a healthy relationship with you? And at what point do I recognize that although I love you, this relationship is toxic, this connection is toxic. And in order for me to fulfill my purpose and to have peace, I might have to love you for a distance. That kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week, the gift of goodbye. You have to recognize those things. But once we delve into those heavier topics, we're going to woo-saw a little bit. And guess what? I got some entertainment, Brother Prather. I got some entertainment for the ladies. I have Miss Jackie Carr coming. She is a local gospel artist. I have Miss Patrice O'Dade, who is coming, and she is a local gospel artist. Both of these ladies are phenomenal, and they are doing some amazing things in their ministries. And I went and got me a friend from down in Florida, and her name is Miss Pauletta Dickinson, and she is a comedian, best known as Miss Percy Mays. So we're going to get together and laugh a little bit and have a good time and, you know, kind of release some of those heavier conversations that we had early in the day and just laugh and enjoy each other and praise the Lord together. And then we're going to have Miss Theany Shannon come back to us, and she's going to talk about cultivating healthy relationships. So now that we've broken down all these things that cause us to have toxic relationships, relationships that are not good for us, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how to cultivate healthy relationships with people. And then we're going to include the brothers, Brother Prather. So I invite you to come and be a part of that. But we are going to have the Mirror, Mirror on the Wall panel discussion. And the subtopic is, do I emulate what I'm looking for in a mate? So now I went and got you laugh. I see you laughing. but that's a big thing. That's a big thing. You know, we have this list, and you know, you've heard different people say, I sat down and I told the Lord what I wanted, and I made this list of all these qualities that I wanted this man to have, or I wanted this woman to have. But my thing is, did you split that paper in half? Did you split it in half and say, if God blesses me with a man or a woman that falls into the category of everything that I've asked for, he's a good provider, he's a good listener, he's a good communicator, he's a good father, he's a good friend, he's anointed for ministry, he knows how to pray for me, he knows how to keep me lifted in the spirit, he you know, he's a good lover, you know, he good looking to look at, he smell good, he do all this. What's the other half of that paper look like? You know, because then you've got a man that are meeting all these expectations, all these desires, all these qualifications. Don't you think he wants something too? You know, a man that's a good provider, a man that's a good communicator. He don't want nobody that's going to sit up in the room with an attitude with him and you got to figure out what's wrong with him. You know, he wants somebody that communicate with him too. He don't want to get up and smell good in the morning and take 3 or 4 baths. And when he leave home, you got rollers in your hair and you got your skull cap on or your bonnet on. And when he come home from work, you still got your skull cap on. You still got your bonnet on. You know, he don't want to get himself together and smell good and look good and go out there and come home. You ain't brushed your teeth all day. You know, and then you want to blame it on the kids. You know, you want him to be a good provider. He provide for you, but then he give you the money to go pay the bills. And why are you still getting late fees? You know, where he the provider. So we have to figure out, you know, do we emulate what we're looking for in a mate? You know, and are we in a position where we are being what God has called us to be to help that man or to help that woman fulfill their potential? You know, I can't expect my husband to go out and make money and educate himself and be the best that he can be when I get mad when he come home and he working and he studying and I'm sitting there saying, every time I turn around, you are always in that book. Every time I turn around, you online. You know, he needs someone that's going to understand, you know, his plight, understand what he's trying to do and tell him, baby, you got this. You know, he needs someone that's going to be supportive of him and his endeavors and what he has to do. You know, you want a man that's going to let you stay home all day, that's going to be the sole provider. Don't let that man come home to a nasty house. You know, you can't let him come home to a nasty house. You know, you want him to provide for the house. You want him to pay the bills. You want him to put the food in the refrigerator. They cook the food. Get up and go cook. And if you don't know how to cook, it's too many channels. It's too many YouTube channels. It's too much stuff on that. You can learn how to cook, you know. You can learn how to cook. Don't let that man come home to Walmart hamburgers, you know, with a cheese put on them and just put it up. Get in the kitchen and cook that man some food. You know, the same thing. You know, so do we emulate? And I went way in on that, but you know,
that's fine.
But you know, those are things that we have to take into consideration. Do we emulate what we're looking for in the mate? Are we able to be an effective helpmeet to the person that we want to fulfill these certain desires in our life? You know, you want a man that's a, let's just be real. You want a man that's a good lover. You want a man that can take care of you. Are you attractive? You know, are you giving him something to be attracted to? You know, are you doing what you need to spark his interest? You know, to arouse that manliness in him. What are you doing? What are you doing? You have to be appealing to your mate. You can't, you know, it's a 50-50 thing. It's a 50-50 thing. So we're going to talk to singles, both male and females, that are going to come to the table and give us their perspective on dating, dating in person, meeting people at church, meeting people in the grocery store versus meeting somebody online. Is online dating even worth it? You know, is it, you know, I could tell you some stories about that. I could tell you some stories about that. So that's a conversation in and of itself, you know. But those are some of the amazing things that we're going to be talking about during this conference. And like I said, we strive to address the mental, emotional, physical, financial, and guess what? I didn't leave out the spiritual. The spiritual part. So we're coming together for the Refresh Co-Ed Worship Experience on both Thursday and on both Friday and Saturday evening. Friday evening at 7 p.m., Saturday evening at 7 p.m. On Friday, I will be your speaker ministering the Ministry of the Word. And then on Saturday, we have Dr. Daria Jacobs, who is coming to minister to us. She's the first lady at the Empowering Body of Christ Church, where Bishop Eli Jacobs is the pastor. They are going to be coming. Look, ladies, they bringing a men's choir. They gonna bring their men's choir, so you single ladies might want to come on out and be a part of that singles panel and stick around for service and listening to these brothers sing. So if that entices them to come a little bit, you know. So we hope to see everyone there. It's gonna be a great time.
Yes, yeah, I look forward to it. Matter of fact, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna polish up my gold tooth. I'm gonna make sure I'm there. Make sure I'm on time. Matter of fact, it's two things I'm gonna have to confess and share this with you. First thing, when you mentioned about making sure that we emulate what we're looking for, I had to cut the camera off to look. I wanted to pull this out. This is my spiral I entitled June's Wife.
Okay.
I made this years ago. And what I did was I put down what I'm desiring, what I'm looking for in wife. But also I put on some pages in the back, I put down what my wife is expecting out of me. I put down what my wife is expecting out of her husband.
Yeah.
Out of her husband. And then also,
yes.
I made a commitment as of this weekend, I am working on better health because I want to make sure that my wife is getting a good package. My future wife is getting a good package.
Yes, absolutely.
So and also, as believers, yes, we in the ministry and everything, but it's not a sin for us to look for a spouse, to date, and it's okay for us to do it, and there's a correct biblical way of doing it. Some people think that everything is a sin. You know, you going out with somebody, you taking them to the movie. Oh, it's a sin. Just, look here. The main one that's saying that one is already married and got seven kids. So you already did your, but we doing it the right way. And like I said, not knocking anybody, but God is concerned about our singleness too.
Yes.
God is concerned about our singleness. And for those who may have been married before, or whatever, hey, you know, God can heal you, God can restore you, and it's nothing wrong for us to pursue love. And I'm so glad you as a minister speaking about that, and these are the conversations that we have to have within the body of Christ.
Absolutely. We have to, you know, talking about certain aspects of relationship. Growing up in the church that I grew up in, it was considered taboo. It was certain things that we didn't, you know, talk about as it relates to, you know, dating, getting married. But it's some conversations we need to have about being married. You know, conversations that vary, you know, based on the stages that you're at in your marriage. And I end up doing like a little series, a social media series called What They Never Told Us. And that kind of spiraled because I was sharing, you know, at some point in my marriage when we were going through some difficult times with intimacy and things like that, I would share these things with my mother. And my mother shared some things with me and I was like, oh my God, why did you never tell me that? You know, you should have told me that a long time ago, you know, and things about intimacy and things like that. I was so gracious to be grateful to be able to have some of those conversations with her before she passed away. But, you know, there's things that we need to talk about and we need to educate each other on as far as women and seasoned women and things like that. You know, we need to have conversations about how do you love your husband and how are you patient with your husband when he begins to age and things don't function like they used to function, you know? And how do you have healthy relationship with your spouse, intimacy or whatever, and be able to have an open door of communication where you can say, honey, this isn't doing this for me. Can we try something different? Are you open to something different? You know, we need to have conversations about limitations in the bedroom and things like that. And we need to be able to put couples, Christian couples, couples who aren't Christians or whatever, we still need to be able to get to a point where we're able to take the shame off of having conversations about intimacy and sex. And because if we were able to have some of these conversations openly, a lot of marriages would still be together. But because we were ashamed to talk about what we were or were not getting or what we were comfortable or uncomfortable with, and, you know, feeling like, you know, because I, you know, one thing that used to bother me, I used to hear people, you know, older people say, you know, you just do whatever he wants you to do in there. No, what? No, no's. You know, that's not how it goes. That's not how that works. You know, we need to have a conversation. And then, you know, I heard somebody say, oh, I could never tell him that, you know, he's not doing this or he's not doing that, or I'm not complete, or I'm not. So why not? He needs to know, you know, and why you sitting up thinking he could be offended? He might be appreciative that you actually talked to him about it and gave him an opportunity to correct that action. And that goes both ways. That goes with ladies as well, because men, we have a you know, you all have desires as far as what you want in a mate and what intimacy looks like for you. You know, yes, these are conversations that we need to have as premarital counseling, but these are ongoing conversations that we need to have at different phases and standpoints within our relationships and our marriages as well. So, you know, we definitely want to know before we get into a situation, is this the person for me? Is this the person that I feel I can have an open communication with and I can be myself with and I can be vulnerable with, I can be naked with? And I'm not talking about physically naked, but I'm talking about being transparent with, you know, is this someone I can be vulnerable with? Because it's important to be able to be vulnerable with your mate and with your spouse. And if you're not with someone where you are feel like you're comfortable to be vulnerable with them, and you have to worry about whatever you share being thrown back up at you in the heat of the moment or in the heat of an argument, you know, follow your yellow warning signs. You know, follow your yellow warning signs. So we're going to talk about all of that. You know, that's a whole another topic that's, you know, we take the can off of that. That's something else, you know, because I can tell you a lot about relationships, you know, I've had, and then we have to be honest. I've had my fair share of failures. I've had my fair share of failures, and, you know, but you have to get to a point where you get tired of bumping your head, and you have to learn from your relationships and from those experiences, though, so you don't continue in those same paths. So it's definitely a difference.
I really appreciate you even bringing this up. And I like to look at this podcast as a setting within the church, even though we may not be in a physical church, but these are the conversations that we need to have, or we sometimes may not have time to go into detail. So I look at this platform as quote unquote fifth quarter, the mm-hmm. fifth quarter of a church, church service, whatever. So you even sharing this with us, I really appreciate it. And in the future, I may be able to share some things pertaining to my experience. And I don't believe in putting down anyone that I was in a relationship with. I always put myself and throw myself under the bus, you know. Mm-hmm. And this has been a learning experience as a minister, mm-hmm. pursuing a relationship, and also just being careful of not only who I'm pursuing, but also who I'm allowing myself to open up to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning. I didn't have a whole lot of relationships growing up, so I learned a lot. And like you were saying, when I'm at work, when I'm at places, I listen. I believe in listening to people, and I'm like, what? That's what I would do, but if it failed, okay, I know not to do that, you know? So I'm learning, and this is helping me to even learn more about myself, because I found out mm-hmm. not everybody can handle a full dose in the very first day. I had to learn that, you know? So, and just in case someone I may have tried to pursue and I may have scared them, I ain't gonna lie to you, I apologize. I didn't know. I'm being honest. I thought you meet somebody on the very first day and I like them. I feel like they're honest with me. I'm gonna be honest with them. The next day I might come in with a bouquet of flowers. That's the way I was. You know, and somebody may be watching like, oh boy, I can't believe he said. But those that know me, and I have done that too, I've had some to come back to me and tell me, well, yeah, you know, they did kind of scare me. I'm like, well, shucks, you should have told me. I didn't know, you know, and like you said, that transparency is so important. So communication is so important. Not just we talk about, oh, what's your favorite color and all this stuff that. Yeah, I want to know what your pet peeves are. I want to know, am I, you know, igniting some pet peeves, you know, so and vice versa. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Yes. So just in case someone who may be interested, can you please give them the information on how they can be able to purchase the ticket? Because it's this Thursday, starting this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yes. So I will tell you this. We are, we have a link set up on eventbrite.com. You can go to Eventbrite and type in Sistah, S-I-S-T-A-H, the number 2, followed by the same spelling, S-I-S-T-A-H. You will find tickets on there for individual day passes. You will find tickets on there for group, for a 3-day access. And you'll find tickets on there if you just want to attend the panel discussion, the various panel discussions that we have. You can also purchase your tickets at the door. Again, the conference is at the West Multipurpose Center on the campus of West Irving Church of God in Christ. The address is 4011 Conflance Road, and that's in Irving, Texas. And you can give us a call if you have any questions. Our contact number is 682-382-7043. Again, that's 682-382-7043. That is the number for Pay It Forward projects. Reach out to us. Hey, if you know, we know that we are living in a recession. We know that times are tight, inflation is high. If you want to come to this conference and it's just not financially in your budget, but you feel that it's something that would be beneficial to you where you are, and you would walk away truly blessed with some golden nuggets, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do so that we can get you in the room so that you can receive whatever it is that God intends to pour into you. So definitely reach out to us.
Thank you. Thank you. And if you don't mind, just in case someone who may have called to this last end of the episode. Can you give your people, God's people, some closing words and also lead them to a word of prayer?
Yes. The closing words that I would have for you is to be encouraged. Be encouraged no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials, circumstances, roadblocks are in your way. Be encouraged. Lift up your head. Trust God and cry out to him and trust that he hears your cry. Trust that he knows what's best for you. Trust that he knows where you are, where you're at and what you're dealing with, and that he will provide a way of escape for you. Just keep trusting him, keep leaning on him and depending on him, and he's going to bring it to pass for you. Whatever that is, whatever your it is, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that means if you can think it, if you can dream it, if you can speak it, if you can believe it, God is able to do it. So continue to trust him. Continue to trust him for your direction. Continue to trust him to give you purpose for your life and to take you into the next phase of your life, into a victorious season. And did you want me to go ahead and pray, Brother Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you and praise you for everyone watching this podcast. I thank you and praise you for each and every person that's going to play it back. Lord, we trust and believe that each person that has listened, it was ordained for them to come across this recording, come across this podcast, because you had something, you had a word that you wanted them to receive. I ask that you allow them to open up their hearts, their minds, their ears to receive what thus says the Lord, to receive what has been poured into them on this evening. I ask that you open doors, that you grant favor and mercy, that you just be with each and every person under the sound of my voice. Lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to take. Help us to be your willing vessels and to bring glory and honor and praise to your name with everything that we do. Lift the heavy burden and lift the hung down head, oh God, in Jesus' name. Let them know that you are God and God alone, and you're a God that sees all things and knows all things, and that you as our Father in heaven wish above all things that we would prosper, be in good health, and have good success, God. We thank you and we praise you for each and every person that watches this video. Bless them in a mighty way. Use them in a mighty way. Have your way in their lives, oh God, and allow them to be your oracles. Use them and speak to them, speak through them, because we know, God, that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. We thank you. We praise you for Brother Prather. We thank you and praise you for this podcast and for this ministry. And we ask that you enlarge his territory, oh God. Give him the desires of his heart. Bless him to find favor with men and women all over this city, all over this country, God. In Jesus' name, anoint this ministry for what you've called it to be. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, and we'll tell the world you did it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank you so much. Feel free to come by anytime. And I thank you. I thank you. Also, like I said, if I was touched by it, I feel like I represent so many other people who may be watching, leaving comments. I thank you so much for feeding us. And I hope and pray for those who may be watching or listening. Please, please, please let us see you this weekend. I will be there. Yes. I will be there. Look forward to it, and looking for a great time. I want to be fed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, every aspect of my life. And so y'all gonna see something different next week. Y'all gonna see different this week. You know, I received it. I felt it in my gold tooth. I am ready. I am ready.
Well, I'm excited. Yes.
So I thank you once again. Thank you so much for coming in and taking our time with us. And you know, like the song says, you didn't have to do it, but you did. You didn't have to, but you did. And I really appreciate you. And I'm praying that God continue to bless your ministry and continue to bring healing to you and your family. And yes, I thank you. I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. And just know that it ain't over with. It ain't over.
It ain't over until God says it's over.
Yes, God has the final say so. God has the final say so. So keep holding on. Keep trusting God no matter what. And I thank y'all for watching We Connect My Heart podcast. God bless you and good night.
Good night, everybody.